Please rise in body or spirit for the reading of Scripture. Today's reading is Matthew 3, 13 through 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented, and when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." The inspired word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Would you please bow your heads with me? Oh, glorious and loving God, as we sit to hear these words, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing to you, for you are our rock, our Redeemer, our Creator, and our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So there's this couple, and we're going to call them John and Martha, and they're having this major argument. And they decided to give each other the silent treatment. Have you ever been in that position, caught up in an argument that turned out to be the silent treatment? Then John realizes that he would need his wife to wake him up early the next morning so he could go meet some friends to play golf. Not wanting the first to break this silent treatment war that's going on, he writes a note and says, "Please wake me up at 5 a.m. So the next morning, John wakes up and it's like 9:15 in the morning. And he knows that his friends have already taken off to play golf, and he was furious. He was just livid that his wife didn't wake him up. So he stomped downstairs to find out why she didn't wake him up, and he looked over at his clock and there was a note. "It's 5 a.m., wake up." Maybe that illustration comes too close to home for some of us to find it humorous. Perhaps it's also descriptive of some of the games we play. However, have you ever thought about this? We might even play those same games with God. Sometimes we give him the silent treatment because something didn't come out the way we wanted it to, and we need to blame someone, so we blame God. Or we pretended to give in to his request, but we only do it on our terms, like the wife in the story. We give the impression of obedience and devotion, but we're still in charge of our own lives and still living for ourselves. In our text this morning, we find a totally different approach to pleasing God. John the Baptist and Jesus both bow to what God has instructed each of them to do, and both humble themselves before one another. The scene is one that you can put yourself into, can't you? Can't you hear the rushing water as it forcefully moves down the Jordan? You can see the sun glistening off the water. You can smell the freshness and feel its coolness in the heat of a summer day. John baptized in these surroundings because the clean running stream of water symbolized the cleanliness and the purity. And John's baptism was a commanding one for the repentance of sin. He could have done it anywhere, but because John was the baptizer, he chose the forceful waters of the Jordan. Because his job was to clear the path for the coming Messiah, he wanted the path to be as wide and as long as the Jordan is itself. Well, the description of the Jordan isn't what it is today. Here's the site where scholars believe John baptized the faithful. Jesus comes to John in a reversal of protocols. That's like the general of an army walking up to a captain and giving him a salute, or a private being saluted by a major. John is most likely standing in the midst of a multitude descending upon the Jordan, and we picture Jesus standing in this line, this throng of people that included the poorest of beggars and the highest ranking Pharisees and Sadducees, all coming to John to be baptized. Men and women came to John from all over Jerusalem and Judea to confess their sins and to be washed clean of the dirt that covers their lives. Suddenly, John's aware of Jesus' presence, and he looks up to see him standing there and immediately recognizes Jesus as the one that he's been telling everyone about. John can't believe his eyes. There he is, right in front of him. The Messiah has arrived just as God has promised. It is John who is humbled before Jesus. It is John who requests that Jesus actually baptize him, not the other way around. This wild man of the Jordan has been shouting with authority at the leaders of the faith and the community and is now brought to his knees in humility and adoration. This prophet who spoke with the power and strength of God behind every word is bowing down in submission to the one whose dusty sandal straps John feels unworthy to untie. Yet John's unblemished obedience to God can only be outdone by Jesus. Jesus says, "Let it be so." Let it be so. Sort of Star Trek-ish, isn't it? Yeah, think about Star Trek. For it's proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. And John knew immediately that Jesus was right. As inadequate as he might feel to be baptizing Jesus, John understood that it was what God wanted him to do. So John consented to the command of God and baptized the Lamb. The Lamb of God. We have a picture of John and Jesus standing in the water together. We can see Jesus yielding to the baptism of John just like everyone else. And we visualize a sinless man coming out of the water and a voice proclaiming, "This is my Son. This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." This became Jesus' coming out party. When he came out of the water, it was his introduction to the world and the beginning of his ministry. It was the inauguration of the kingdom of God on earth. And through Jesus, the kingdom of God was both now and yet to come. And this kingdom would demand from Jesus an uncompromising obedience to his Father, our God, and a loving responsibility to the fallen human race. Through baptism, Jesus was publicly giving God's seal of approval. And by his example, believers are invited to enter the kingdom of God through baptism. In the church that emerged as an instrument of God's kingdom on earth following Jesus' resurrection, baptism became the initiating rite of entering. And many believe that the Holy Spirit enters the life of the Christian in the transforming ways when the person is baptized, just like the dove that descended upon Jesus. And although John thought Jesus should be baptizing him, he was obedient to the will of God. And even though Jesus was without sin, he obeyed his Father in heaven by submitting to the waters of baptism. Who among us dare to enter the kingdom of God outside of baptism? So important did baptism appear to be to Jesus that in the book of Matthew, his final dialogue with his disciples included his instructions to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. He further instructed his disciples to teach the new followers to obey everything that Jesus had commanded. From the preaching of John the Baptist to the baptism of Jesus and forward into the New Testament church in the book of Acts, people are baptized in obedience to God. And today, even if we can't agree on the way it's done or at what point in a person's life he or she is baptized, the church is still baptizing in obedience to God's command. We believe that we are united with Christ through baptism and thus will be united with Him in resurrection. In the 1980s movie Superman 2, you'll catch on here in a minute. Superman and Lois Lane finally, after many years of dancing around the issue, decide that they're in love and want to marry. And because Superman wants a normal marriage with Lois, he chooses to give up his superpowers to become the ordinary Clark Kent, reporter for the Daily Planet, knowing that if he surrenders his powers, he can never get them back. And it doesn't take long for the three supervillains from Superman's home planet of Krypton to take control of the White House with plans to rule over the planet Earth. The world needs Superman, but it's too late. A dejected Clark Kent walks through the rubble of what once was the Superman's fortress of solitude and cries out, "Father, I have failed." Then the scene changes to Metropolis. The supervillains are wreaking havoc and terrorizing the townspeople. Just then, that familiar music starts, and suddenly, up in the sky, it's not a bird, it's not a plane, it's Superman. Somehow, some way, he regained his superpowers and is back protecting the people of the world. Superman defeats the villains and continues the fight for truth, justice, and the American way, and a slice of apple pie included. But let's look what really happened here. The writers of the screenplay had established rules that if Superman surrendered his superpowers, he could never get them back. Then he surrendered his powers, and if the writers had stuck to the rules, Superman would have been history, would be no more. But the writers took some liberties and probably made literary purists cringe when they change the rules in the middle of the story in order for Superman to get off the hook. Folks, that's what baptism does. It rewrites the rules. It allows God's grace to rule over the law. Since we're unable to earn our salvation by the letter of the law, that is, through perfect obedience to God, God changes the rules. He sent Christ to die for our sins. God changed the rules in the middle of the story to get us off the hook. Jesus instructed his disciples to baptize in all nations, and you could say he commanded them to do so. But we shouldn't view baptism as an obligation. We should view it rather as a gift. A gift just like the grace that it represents to us or is bestowed upon us. A gift just like the salvation it ushers into our lives. A gift given to us by a Savior who one day came to the water to meet a guy named John. And in the waters of baptism, Jesus began a journey to the cross so that for our sake, the waters of baptism would have real and eternally lasting meaning. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.